Oh, I'm not sure what's going on. Give me a second, friends. This is not what I had planned. Well, guess what? We'll pick that up properly in a second. Let me do my magic and get into this folder. And oh well, good morning everyone. It's the year is 2023, the day is the 8th, it's midnight, and you're listening to the Banana Republic. And I've got some echo which I'll edit out later. But alas, I shall keep this going. Let's go into music and let's go into. What the heck? Anyway, this will catch up my time. I did run through this test. We have, though, we have Liquid Dreams. Thank you for being here, Supernova. Adam D. And I'm sure we have a couple lurkers, which is a quorum, and it's enough to do something with. And in fact, it's enough to set up a Linux user group in Waterville, which I would love to go to if I could, but I can't, not easily anyway. And on that note, though, the show shall begin properly. So this one is 26 minutes long, and I'm handing you over to the recorder. The when I say I'm handing over to the recorder, what I mean is that I woke up this morning at 2:30, and I thought, oh, I might as well do my show, and I did it as if I was recording live, and I saved it to a file. So it was recorded this morning with my thoughts a short time ago. Then I went back to sleep and slept right the way through Tin's show, the third year, and I wake up at about 8:30, I think, which is when I jumped on to come after my lovely wife had made me a cup of coffee. So thanks for being here once more, and let's get this going. Listening to the Rollster, also known as Rolly on SDF, and I'm with you for the next 30 minutes, and you're listening to the Banana Republic. It's the year 2023, it's July, it's the 8th of July, and it's midnight, or at least it's just been midnight. I'd like to play a song from my very own tribe, my gorgeous Louise. This is her second actual release. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Baseball.
Sometimes we'll let you down. Nothing. turn. Too much money left to burn. He's got nothing left to lose. He's got nothing. This reflection, I got nothing left to lose. I got nothing left to lose. Oh, nothing left, nothing left, nothing left to
Louise Shirley, my daughter. And Louise Shirley is my mother-in-law's name. And Louise was close to Lydia's mum. So, yeah, that's the origin of that name. And that song speaks a little about the idea that you need to baseball opinions back. Just whack it. Avoid other people's opinions, and also recognize that, at least this is my interpretation, recognize that even the gold digger comes home empty, and there's quite a lot of disappointment, and in the end you've just got to do stuff, get it out the way. So yeah, Louise Shirley with Baseball. Thanks for being here today. Let's keep rocking. This particular song, well, it's about microchips, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So it's called Mighty Micro.
Thank you.
replaced by a microchip. And before that, we've got Nothing Left to Lose, baseball. And I suppose with those two themes, I'll be happy to talk a bit further. My friends, we need to hang out. That's a big secret in life, sharing with your own friends and being part of your own community and hanging out with your own tribe. So I encourage you to talk with a real person in real time, in a real place, doing real things with your phone at home or deep, deep in your pocket. And don't even look at it. Walk straight. All right. Just for context, it's 3:26 a.m. where I am. And that's because I am in the very early hours of Saturday morning. And I'm about to find you another song to listen to. So I shall be right back with a tune or two.
I think I'm sophisticated because I'm living my life like a good Homo sapien. But all around me, everybody's multiplying and they're walking around like flies, man. So I'm no better than the animals sitting in their cages in the zoo, man. 'Cause compared to the flowers and the birds and the trees, I am an ape, man. I think I'm so educated and I'm so civilized, 'cause I'm a strict vegetarian. But with the overpopulation and inflation and starvation and the crazy politicians, I don't feel safe in this world no more. I don't wanna die in a nuclear war. I wanna sail away to a distant shore and make like an ape man. I'm an ape man, I'm an ape man, no, I'm an ape man. I'm a King Kong man, I'm a voodoo man, no, I'm an ape man. 'Cause compared to the sun, it's
about to play an interview by Rob Davis from the band Mud. They had a number of hits. They were a very, 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 very early glam rock band, a British band that just didn't take themselves too seriously. And this is an interview by Rob Davis. And unfortunately, it's not in stereo, so you'll have to live with that coming out of one speaker. But I think it's still going to be worth listening to, so let's do it.
I've got a really good quote from Nicky Chinn. We spent a whole day on Tiger Feet, and we were allowed to write our own B-sides. He said that after at the end of the day, right, we've got 15 minutes to make this B-side. I think we've got that on tape somewhere. I think up until before the records, that once you get the hits, the road crew goes up, you've got to carry lighting, you've got to carry PA, so it all gets more expensive. So we had a manager who had to really budget all that sort of thing and sort that out, so we did make money. But before that, when we no overheads, we were doing all right, really, which a band today can't do. There's no gigs out there for them. They have to practically pay to play a pub now, don't they?
So there's something interesting there. He said, you practically have to pay to play a pub. And unfortunately, that's because we've put the dollar first. And, you know, we've closed the venues. We've made rules. Rules. Hey, I hate rules. I really, truly despise the rules. Anyway, it doesn't make me, well, I don't know what it makes me, but, what I'm going to do now is play this song, and I hope you enjoy it. It's quite cryptic, because it's kind of like complaining about the venues being shut down.
To stand. Before that they put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. That's where the big band used to come and play. My sister went there on a Saturday. Come dancing, all her boyfriends used to come and call. Why not come dancing? It's only natural. Another Saturday, another date. She would be ready, but she'd always make him wait. In the hallway, in anticipation. He didn't know the night would end up in frustration. He'd end up blowing all his wages for the week, all for a cuddle and a peck on the cheek. Come dancing, that's how they did it when I was just a kid. And when they said come dancing, my sister always did. Should have come in at midnight, and my mom would always sit up and wait. It always ended up in a big row when my sister used to get home late. Out of my window I could see them in the moonlight, two silhouettes saying goodnight by the garden gate. The day they knocked down the pally, my sister stood and cried. The day they knocked down the pally, part of my childhood died, just died. My sister's married and she lives on an estate. Her daughters go out, now it's her turn to wait. She knows they get away with things she never could.
But if I asked her, I wonder if she would come dancing. Come on, sister, have yourself a bar. Don't be afraid to come dancing. It's only natural.
Pretty much all I've got time, so I shall fade this out and say to you, thank you for being here. You've been with me for the past 30 minutes, I hope. I actually think the recording's been going 38, but that's what happens on The Republic. And I'm going to try and squeeze the next bit into... Actually, I'm at 25 minutes. All right. Well, we'll just keep rocking. Let's do it. Future legend. This will drop it down a notch. But this will take us up to the end of the show, I think. Pretty sure. I will wish you well for this first 30-minute segment. I've reduced the time down to 30 minutes, and I'm doing multiple shows at that size. The idea comes from Tobe and Publius and other people who have had a 30-minute slot. So without any delay, let's play Future Legend.
In the death, as the last few corpses lay rotting on the slimy thoroughfare, the shutters lifted an ancient entrance building high on Vulture's Hill, and red mutant eyes gazed down on Hunger City. No more big wheels, fleas the size of rats sucked on racks the size of cats, and 10,000 peopleoids split into small tribes, coveting the highest of the sterile skyscrapers like packs of dogs assaulting the glass fronts of Lavney Avenue, ripping and re-wrapping Lincoln's shiny silver frocks, now leghorns, family badge of sapphire and cracked emerald. Every now, the gear of the diamond dogs.
Got your mother in a whirl. She's not sure if you're a boy or a girl. Hey, baby, your hair's all right. Hey, baby, stay out tonight. You like me and you like it all. You love dancing and you look divine. You love bands when they play it hard. You want more and you want it fast. You down, you say I'm wrong. You attack the thing, you put them on. Yeah, yeah. Hot!
your mother in the world. She's not sure if you're a boy or a girl. Hey, baby, it's all right. Hey, baby, stay out tonight. Stay out tonight. Stay out tonight.
Whoa, what a nice song. Let's stay out tonight. That's all we've got time for, friends. Take care, stay well, and see you next time. Yep, that's about it, my friends. This is me, real live, sitting at the dining room table, signing out, saying goodbye to my friends. Now, I admit we are virtual friends because I have not met any of you in person, but I'd like to say thank you for being here and give credit where credit is due. So in more or less as best as I can recall and as my pencil suggests to me, Adam D, thank you, Gemlog, thank you, Supernova, thank you, and F Fog, thank you, JWH, thank you, Liquid Dreams, I tried to plus you, but I couldn't figure out if it was a Z or an S. I'll have to check. Let me go and see. I can probably... Liquid Dreams, where are you? Okay, well, I'll keep going, and I'll try to do two things in one, scroll and chat. Jeff, welcome, my friend. I love your show. I've listened to so many. I mentioned that in the text. And I think you do a great show. Sorry about the bumpy start. I am keeping it short today. I'm going to wrap up soon. And Ratsu, we've got Ratsu here. And I think I saw Praetor. Let's check. And ZDR Monster, you're up next. I kind of like wish I could hand it over to you right now. So thank you, fine friends. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the weekend. Enjoy yourself, and I'll catch you on the rebound. Okay, dokie. So, which of us can be blamed for falling in love with technology? It's great stuff. You just can't help getting involved with technology. It draws you in, it promises you things. And I really love technology, and I love the idea that it was going to fulfill some sorts of dreams and be quite fulfilling, an opportunity to share knowledge and information and make friends and find your groove, find the others, find your friends. But unfortunately, it hasn't really done that, it hasn't delivered. And there are other things that do not deliver, you know, marketing and advertising. And we need to check that in, and we will be doing a show about that. Marketing and advertising, there's no one else that knows more about marketing and advertising than my good friend Scott, the Minister of Propaganda. That's his line. That's what he does. So yeah, we will chat to Scott, and at some point, not now, but at some point ahead. But just remember...
With different meanings since you've been gone. fall apart, but the melody keeps on in me, reminding me of the love that used to be. Just hearing the part that touched my heart, ringing a bell, darling, ringing a bell. Now it's the same old song with different meanings since you've been gone. Now it's the same old song with different meanings since you've been gone. Oh, I, oh baby, oh darling.
Same Story by Delroy Wilson, a lovely song, I thought. Up next, a song called Content by Negative Land. I think you'll like this. I heard it on Mark's show. He didn't have enough time to finish it, so I think I shall finish it. I shall play it and finish it, and then move on to some other stories.
Content. Never forget the fact that we are all just content. That anything you put out there, you're content. We are all just potential content for someone else's needs.
I think people are happy to participate.
They're just, you know, hundreds of people rolling their dice, throwing their hat into the content providing ring. Content. Forever.
Make it mandatory.
Content.
You don't have to pay people to participate.
Your content.
You're forced to participate.
My content.
You're forced to participate.
Content is eternal.
Hotel chain owns no hotels.
Are we manipulable?
The world's largest retailer has no inventory.
Manipulable. I can't talk.
And the world's largest media company creates no content.
Yeah, we're not producing the content. We're allowing users to share.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
It's easy.
Get all this user-generated content for free. You don't have to do anything.
I don't create it.
Right, don't
you pay
the agency.
I own it.
I think people are happy to participate.
It's expensive.
Your content.
You know what I mean? It's like the sounds that are used are not cheap.
My content.
They're very expensive sounding sounds. That sound, right? I just had to get used to it.
It's the responsibility of the industry to figure out how to extract their value out of each generation.
I want to know what they're talking about amongst themselves, and I want to see
spread that content to the people who aren't this content yet.
Content. 100% of the growth is going to companies that don't create any content.
Once we have these inspirational provocations,
your content,
data whisperers will become the new messiahs.
My content,
to create ideas so contagious they cannot be controlled.
Content.
I like being in the vortex.
You got no control over it, man. It's eternal.
When I'm in the vortex, I like being in the vortex. When I'm in the vortex, I want never to leave. When I'm in the vortex, I love the people who help me put stuff in the vortex.
We're allowing users
to participate.
Clearly, you're in the vortex.
It feels good.
Your words reflect.
It feels like that
you're in the vortex.
It feels like power.
That's it.
Participate. And it will be my eternal quest.
Eternity.
To give up whatever I have to give
your
up.
Your content.
In order to spend more of my time.
Forever.
In the vortex.
Up next, we have the Minister of Propaganda. We've not had him for quite a long time, and he has something to say. And in particular, he has something to say to Stokesauce. So let's hear it.
Radio thing? Oh, if you go to USC, first of all, find out if they've got a local campus radio. They may have that already, a lot of them do. But if you have, try and see if you can get a slot on it. To just do local music, just Sunshine Coast bands that have an opportunity to play Sunshine Coast music on that radio station. You've got a captive audience that's going to tune into it. And if they haven't got it, then run the whole radio station yourself. Say, can I run it and set it up? They might even give him like a permanent spot where you can set up your whole thing. So you've actually got a rehearsal studio there for you just to do all your stuff. The main thing is that you've got a radio station for Sunshine Coast music.
What are you? Okay, this is just for the hell of it. It's a lot of fun. Enjoy.
Thank you. Top. Thank you. Top. Thank you. Top. 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 This one's called Nelly the Elephant.
To Bombay, a travelling circus came. They brought an intelligent elephant, and Nelly was her name. One dark night, she slipped her iron chain, and off she ran to Hindustan and was never seen again. Night by night, she danced to the circus band. When Nelly was leading the big parade, she looked so proud and grand. No more tricks for Nelly to perform. They taught her how to take a bow, and she took the crowd by storm. We'll be right back.
All right, up next, David Bowie talking about what it means to be an artist. I think this is a great clip.
Well, I had a way of working through musical problems by painting them out at one time, and that seems to have disappeared over the years. But
you've lost that ability?
Yeah. For one reason or another, that seems to have changed now.
All right, let's take a look at some of them, and then we'll come back. These are the kinds of images that have been downloaded. These have been, in fact, downloaded by our group here from your website, www.bowieart.com. Okay, let's take a look at the first thing. What's that? Could this be Iggy Pop, huh?
It certainly could be Iggy Pop. That's Iggy Pop in 1976, as I saw him, when we were living in Berlin. We both had fairly severe drug problems. And so to rectify that, we moved to Berlin, the heroin capital of the world, which I guess in retrospect doesn't sound like a terribly sensible
No, it doesn't sound very smart to me.
And that's a picture of Jim turning blue in his apartment in Berlin.
Tell me the satisfaction of completing a painting where you're on, that you like a lot. Satisfaction of that.
For me, to be quite frank, it's finishing it so I can get on to something else. I mean, it's getting through it. It's the process. There's something in it that it just turns me to jelly. My heart and my mind just become, I can't explain it. It's a very strange feeling. And it's not particularly pleasant either. I can't really say that I enjoy music or painting in quite that. I mean, it's not like sex or something which you can kind of really enjoy.
There's
it's important. But there's something volatile, emotive, and something that makes me really quite angry about going through the process of both making music and doing visual arts. I guess that's my problem.
No, but let's deal with your problem.
If you deal with my problem, I might not be able to do these things again, you see. I'm wary of analysis.
Yes, sir, but let me point out to you, knowing your history and knowing your family and knowing your background, you have always, always resisted any notion that this creativity that you have comes from any sort of dysfunctional or madness out of
its
family.
I think I've often wondered if actually that being an artist of in any way, any nature, is a kind of a sign of a certain kind of dysfunction, a social dysfunctionalism anyway. Yeah. It's an extraordinary thing to want to do, to express yourself in such rarefied terms. I think it's a loony kind of thing to want to do. I think the saner and rational approach to life is to survive steadfastly and create a protective home and create a warm, loving environment for one's family and get food for them. That's about it. That's actually anything else is extra. All culture is extra. Culture is, I guess it's a freebie. It's something that we only need to eat. We don't need particular color plates or particular height chairs or anything. I mean, anything will do, but we insist on making 1,000 different kinds of chairs and 15 different kinds of plates. It's unnecessary, and it's a sign of the irrational part of man, I think. We should just be content with picking nuts. Not mine, I might add.
The thing about JJ is JJ is, you know, in the world that I work in and the same world that Angus 2 Degree works in is basically taking other people's ideas and having to kind of craft them. So in other words, there's kind of almost a homogenized kind of look and feel to the stuff that we do and a sound that we do because we know that there's success there. But the thing with JJ is JJ doesn't subscribe to that because in many ways he's not looking for a tool to craft him. He's looking for you to be able to give him the ability to be able to capture him in his finest, which is very different. It's almost like he knows exactly what he wants, and he's very, very, very focused on it, probably like a Bowie, you know, really having that ability to be able to kind of see, you know, what works for him and it doesn't work for him. And he's able to kind of stay focused on that without being homogenized like our clients do. You know, they almost kind of see a bevy of ideas and go, oh yeah, no, I know that's successful, so therefore design it in that space or record it in that space. And JJ goes, I don't want to play in that space. That space is not for me. And that's what makes him unique. And that's why I think to a degree Angus is still very interested to help, because he, in his own way, like me, looks at it and goes, there's something very original here that you don't want to miss. You know, brilliance isn't always seen by everybody. A lot of the time people go, oh no, it's just a rock. And then when you polish it a bit more, you go, hang on, that's a shiny rock. You know, it's gold or it's a diamond. But, and most of the time people are polishing rocks. And that's what you go looking for.
Okay, so we've reached the part of the stage where we are about to wrap up. I think I have 10 more minutes. I'm going to introduce another podcast that I'm a great fan of. It's called The Bible Project. I'm not quite sure the names of the presenters, but I do listen to this often and in the morning. And I've been through many episodes of this. These guys are about to talk about technology, and I think it's interesting. It's worth a listen. And then we will have some outro music at the very end, if there's time. Look forward to seeing you all next week. Thank you for being here. Take care, friends. Bye.
But before we get into that, I first wanted to have a conversation with Tim about technology. You see, the city of Babylon had a new technology, the brick, which they used to build an impressive tower that reached up into the skies and made them feel like they were themselves God. And God doesn't like this. He scatters everyone. And so I wanted to know, what does this mean for how we should view technology? Is technology inherently bad? Will we always use it to build Babylon? That's where we begin today. Here we go. Okay, so we need to talk about technology.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah.
It's not going to make it into the theme video.
Yeah.
So I think about a lot about technology and the future of technology. And in the Tower of Babel, they're using a technology.
Mm-hmm. That's highlighted as part of the story.
It's highlighted as part of the story.
They've developed technology.
To become people that can depend on themselves rather than God. To become like God.
Yeah, to exalt themselves
to,
what they think is the status of the gods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's still fringe, but it's not so fringe for certain people to talk about how technology is going to do this something very much like make us like God. Mm-hmm. Radical life extension being one thing that might happen because of advancements in medicine and nanotechnology and human genome being able to be edited now and stuff like that.
Yeah.
CRISPR as that one.
CRISPR.
You know CRISPR?
No.
Oh, it's just like a gene editing technology. Just go in, snip out the DNA you don't want, put in new DNA.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, they're fighting cancers this way now, doing that to T cells and stuff. So radical life extension being one. Yeah. Having powers that are very divine-like, being able to create things.
Create organisms.
Create organisms, create organs. Do these things that, I mean, if you were to show up 200 years ago and do it, you would be a god.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in a way could make us... will make us feel very sufficient. I mean, who knows what will happen? It could, nothing could work. It become a nightmare scenario. Yeah. But what if it did?
Yes.
Let's just go with the thought of now all of a sudden we're living these radically longer lives as healthy people. We can do all these really amazing things with technology. And now we feel very sufficient and feel godlike. Is Genesis 11 warning us against that?
I think here you have to do a whole biblical theology of good and evil and of the human progress. I don't think Genesis 11 is a case against technology.
But it a case against technology making us prideful and making us
technology,
try to be God?
Technology is technology, whether it's a hammer or gene editing software.
Yeah,
right?
It's a tool.
It's a tool. So the fundamental question is, who defines what is good and what is not good to be done as humans rule the world under God's authority? And so human beings have to progress and develop even if the fall hadn't happened, right? Because they're ruling and subduing and taking creation into new places,
so that's,
in new directions.
So you're saying that...
I'm saying that there's a moral... It's a moral question of the knowledge of good and evil. How human beings develop and use tools ultimately needs to be brought under an ethical and moral examination.
But you just said we have to progress.
Well, by nature.
Do you think there's a biblical mandate to progress in technology?
I think there's the mandate, which is not a mandate. It's a blessing, a divine blessing.
Yeah.
Rule the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
And in the context of the story is gardening.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think the point is the idea of subdue, that word subdue, take what is latent and potential and bring that out and harness it and take it in a direction it wouldn't otherwise go.
So if you put technology there in the blessing,
yeah,
then
just like in Kane City, where you have music and new sorts of metal technology, mm-hmm. but that in the case of Lamech, it becomes bent towards evil and murder.
Mm.
And then in Babylon, it becomes bent towards self-exaltation. But this is why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this is why in the wisdom literature, the only place where the tree of life and the phrases knowledge of good and evil appear again in the Old Testament is in Genesis 2 and 3 mm-hmm. and the wisdom literature.
Mm.
And the wisdom literature is about
If
the fear of the Lord, recognizing that you live as one of God's creatures under God's guidance and under his authority, and that God's definitions of good and evil form the boundary lines, if I start there, then I will have wisdom to, in whatever scenario I encounter, to make the wise decision. That
whether that be... radical life extension technologies.
Yeah, I mean,
intelligence.
Yeah, in other words, what I'm saying is the part of the Bible that I think is the resource to draw upon for those kinds of questions is the wisdom literature specifically.
So Genesis 11 isn't this, let's be careful not to create technologies that make us not depend on God.
Yeah, more it would be let's be careful that our technologies don't dupe us into thinking that we are God,
yeah,
or that we can simply reinvent moral categories of right and wrong and the value of life. And I mean, I understand these are very complex questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not expert in them,
yeah,
but I think that's where the biblical tradition would offer us wisdom to kind of guide. It's just it's the question of just because it's possible, it doesn't mean it's the wise thing to do. And so that's the question. I'd have to think about it more. There are smarter people thinking about this.
About technology?
Do you remember there's that interview that we both listened to?
With Wright?
Yeah, and Peter Thiel. And they came to this point in a conversation about technology, development, and a biblical worldview.
Yeah, Peter Thiel, the venture capitalist.
Yep, yeah. But anyhow, yeah, he's trying to integrate a biblical worldview with a view
technology.
Of what kind of future should be funded for the human race. Anyhow.
Yeah.
So yeah, bring it all the way back. I think the technology is an interesting and important theme, the developing portrait of the human condition in the Bible.
Yeah.
But it's not inherently evil. It just happens that it's
highlighted in the story.
It's highlighted as being the occasion for evil, and it will be again in the story. And, you know, I mean, think about it. The forefront of technological advancement for much of human history has been for the purposes of...
Killing people.
Either killing people...
or
protecting yourself or consolidating power.
Yeah.
Once you have killed people and can't protect yourself.